JGI and the rest of the community kind of teamed together to put together a reference genome for the first tree has actually now been a great example of how comparative analysis in other plant species and within the tree world can glean some very important similarities and differences among industrially important species. So for example, now we have the eucalyptus genome, and comparing those genomes, you see that some of the highly conserved pathways, like the lignin genes, for example, they're all the same, but a lot of the other pathways for that are important to making eucalyptus unique from poplar are, it's not just an exercise of looking at what's being highly regulated and what's not. You can have you can use the two models, if you want to call them that, two model systems to do comparative analysis. And I think that really is a powerful tool. It's the same kind of power that the crop world has and the Arabidopsis has with respect to sequencing all of the different ecotypes, and we never had that before. Now, So I am a cell wall biologist, or I basically do molecular biology of cell walls, and so we've looked quite hard at association genetics for the traits involved in cell walls, both for pulping purposes as well as for potential bioenergy applications. So the lab works on lignification and cellulose deposition, and recently my lab and a bunch of students in the lab was the first lab, also it's a second science paper that just was the first to actually use live cell imaging to visualize secondary cell wall cellulose being biosynthesized. I think there's going to be a pressing need to continue to look at tools like genomic selection in breeding advanced generations of poplar. So that'd be using whole genome sequencing to identify SNPs and then using that information to further breeding efforts, accelerate breeding efforts. I think we'll see that happening around the world. And I think it may not be in, at least in North America, we would be probably focusing on bioenergy traits, but I think the rest of the world will be looking at more traits that are involved with stresses, maybe Canada and US be the same, but for example, salt tolerance and drought and things like that are really affecting productivity of trees. And then the other thing that I think we will see coming on the horizon very quickly is the use and the testing of things like CRISPR-Cas systems to try and produce trees with desired traits. So I have a couple of patents, some from UBC solely and some that are part of collaborative efforts that have happened through the DOE Bioenergy Sciences Centers. One from UBC is a gene that's involved in what we think is causing trees to produce tension wood. Basically, it's a specialized secondary wall, and that specialized secondary wall is enriched in cellulose. It's in a highly crystalline format. So effectively, as long as you can select trees that grow the same as the wild type parents, that you would have a cell wall that's composed of up to 6% more cellulose by weight. And that, of course, can translate into significant economic gains in the pulp and paper world, in the world of making cellulose nanocomposites, in the bioenergy spectrum, all aspects of a bioenergy, ethanol production or specialty chemicals, depending on which fermentation process you would use, starting from the sugar materials. The second kind of gene is a gene that I worked on with some colleagues that are actually part of the GLBRC, which is the Great Lakes Bioenergy Sciences Center. And we found a gene which we named the FMT, which is a ferulate monolignol transferase gene. And we patented that gene, and basically what it does is it introduces conjugates during biological development that then, when they're moved to the cell wall, go through the lignification process, but introduce ester linkages into the lignin backbone. And normally their lignin is composed of almost, at least the backbone is composed of almost 100% ether bonds, and they're really difficult to break down using chemicals, both base and acid. And the ester linkage, or the ester linkages compared to the ether linkages are really quite easy or more labile under base conditions. And so we've been able to demonstrate both from a bioenergy perspective and a pulping perspective that this introduction of the FMT gene and consequently the ester linkages in the lignin increase its processability during pulping, regular old craft pulping, as well as conversion to sugar stream for ethanol production or anything else that you might want to use the sugar for. And, you know, largely most of that stuff wouldn't have been possible without having the sequence available for Poplar to know that the genes function, when they're turned on, they're orthologs in other plant species. And so it all, again, goes back to having this wonderful resource that was led by JGI.